pride is the besetting sin of people with high moral principles, and that means that it will be the besetting sin of evangelical Christians. Evangelical Christians hold these from the Word of God. But what we're saying this morning is that where people hold high moral principles, as we seek to do, it is very hard then to be humble.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I know that many who are listening to this radio broadcast or podcast today would identify themselves as evangelical Christians.
As we would, for sure.
And maybe have not thought about this before, but in hearing your warning here, saying, okay, maybe I do need to be on guard about this pride, how do I go about doing that?
Oh, well, absolutely we do. And we have every reason, because of our own failings and our own sins that lurk within our flesh, to be humble. But even beyond that, think about this, Steve. The perfect Son of God was marked by humility, and he had no sin. So he had no reason to be humble on account of sin. But the beauty of humility is part of his glory, and I want to be like him. And anyone who loves him, we want to be like Jesus Christ. And the great question is, in pursuing holiness of life, how do we at the same time clothe ourselves with humility? It's something that we put on. That's the Bible's language.
Right.
So we're going to try and get into understanding a little better what humility is. It's not something that's only appropriate when I fail. It's something beautiful that reflects the character of Christ. And then we're going to look at what it means to progress and go after that and to seek to cultivate this expression of the likeness of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's something that God calls us to.
All right. Well, we're going to see that today from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. So if you can, I hope you'll open your Bible and join us there as we begin this message, New Humility.
One of these momentary, horrible experiences in the van this week, driving in the city, and I was stopped at the lights and just looking to the side while we were waiting for them to change, and suddenly had the sensation that I was moving forward, and of course slammed my foot on the brake and still felt that I was moving forward and slammed a lot harder, suddenly feeling I'm going to go out into the middle of this junction. And then of course suddenly realized, you know, that awful feeling, it's the person next to you who's moving backwards and trying to get into a parking place. Say, oh, I thought my life was nearly over. And it's a strange experience. You think you're moving forward, but actually you're only standing still. Now, I think that's one of the great dangers of our Christian lives, that we can think that we are moving forwards when actually we're really only standing still. And that goes to the nub of the issue that we're going to focus on today. Because it is possible for us to be very active in serving Jesus Christ, throwing enormous energy into serving him and all that we're seeking to do for him, and yet to lose our effectiveness on this single issue, that we became proud. Look at verse 5 as we try and orient ourselves to this issue that is a challenge for every Christian at every stage of life. Peter has been talking to elders in the first four verses, mature believers, leaders in the church. Then at the beginning of verse 5, he speaks to young men. And then he says in verse 5, all of you. So he's making very clear that he now wants to address a fundamental issue that affects Christians at every stage of life and every stage of spiritual development. There is never a point in your life where it is easy or natural to be humble. It's not easy to be humble when you're in fifth grade. You think you're the center of the whole world. Or when you're in eighth grade or ninth grade and you suddenly start looking in the mirror. It's not easy to be humble when your career is taking off. It's not easy to be humble when you're retired. It does not come naturally to any of us. Someone has described humility, pride rather, as being like flour in a mill. It gets everywhere, and it is produced every time the mill is working. You're always trying to keep it down, but you never fully manage to clear it up. Pride is like that. And nobody is free from the struggle against pride that has an insidious way of growing up like a weed in our souls. Spurgeon, a great preacher from a century ago, tells a wonderful story about a lady who came up to him after a service. He's a preacher in this great church in London. And she said to him, "Mr. Spurgeon, I want you to know that I pray every day that God will keep you humble." And Spurgeon thanked her, and then he said, asked her if she was praying the same thing for herself. "Oh no," she said, "there's no need for me to pray that prayer. I do not think there is any tendency in me to be proud." Well, you see, there's the subtlety of pride right there. We are never in so much danger of being proud as when we think we are humble. C.S. Lewis, in his masterful book, Screwtape Letters, sets out Satan's strategies for tempting a Christian, and he makes this point there: if the Christian becomes humble, tempt him by drawing attention to the fact. He will soon become proud of his humility. And this is such a subtle thing. I was asked earlier this year by a denomination to speak at the National Conference on the subject of giving up your ego. And I received the invitation, was grateful for it, thought that's very nice that they asked me. They must think I'm humble. And I lost it, right there, lost it. Pride is like a cataract that grows over the eye so that we can no longer see ourselves clearly. That's why so often we end up in the position of being absolutely sure we're in the right, and yet pride has blinded us to the areas in which we're actually in the wrong. Great Christians have sought to ponder what it means to really live a humble life in this world. And one of the greatest of these was a man by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux. Isn't that a delightful name, by the way? I would have liked to have been called Bernard of Clairvaux. I don't suppose it would help your humility, mind you. He lived in the 12th century and was a monk. He was asked by a friend to write a book on humility. He said he didn't really know enough about humility to write about it, but he could write about the way in which we fall into the sin of pride. And he made this observation that I think is rather helpful. He said, you take the same road to come out of a town as you used to go into it. So if you can understand the road that leads to pride, then by walking that same road in the reverse direction, you will find the path to humility. And then changing the analogy, he set out a ladder. He said, rather like a ladder with different rungs on it. If you go up the ladder in one direction, it will take you to pride. If you go on these same rungs in the other direction, it will take you to humility. And he wrote a book that's still available today, and I think well worthy of reading, entitled 12 Steps of Humility and Pride. And of these 12, I'd like just to mention three. I found them very, very searching in my own soul, because he is so very practical in just bringing out some of the subtle ways in which pride manifests itself in our lives. Here's three. The first of them, curiosity, or inquisitiveness. He talks about the inquisitive person, that is the person who is always looking at what other people are doing or achieving, and thereby putting themselves in a place in which, you know, others are doing better than me, others are not doing quite as well as me. He will look up to some as his betters, Bernard says, and will look down on others as his inferiors. And as soon as he begins to do that, he will be envious of some and scornful of others. Both of these, he says, are examples of pride, because it is love of one's own excellence that brings distress when others surpass you and brings joy when you surpass others. And we find this in our experience from the earliest days onwards. You know, you're a junior in high school. What do? Look up to the seniors, respect the seniors. Freshman, don't ever be caught hanging out with a freshman if you're a junior. You roll it on into business. It begins to manifest itself in, now what's he making? What do you make? Oh, yeah, that's what you make. Good for you. Yeah, I make a little more. In pastors, it gets perverted into the usual table conversation. How many are you running on a Sunday morning? Well, you see, people, we measure ourselves against where others are in terms of their achievement in one way or another. And Bernard is saying, as soon as you begin comparing yourself in that kind of way, pride is at the root of it. It's one of the expressions of pride. When Jesus spoke to Peter after the resurrection and spoke about his future, Peter's immediate reaction was to say, "Now, what's going to happen to John?" And Jesus said to him, "What is that to you?" In other words, mind your own business. As a very, very important principle, because as soon as I begin measuring myself against others, however I do that, oh, I'm not doing as well as him. Oh, I'm doing better than her. The root of that is pride. Secondly, he points out levity. Again, I found this very searching. The proud person, he says, is never sorrowful. Think about that. His silly levity totally controls him. You rarely see this person sigh or cry. He acts like a buffoon, looks like a court jester, and swaggers around over-concerned with his appearance. And this was a monk writing in the 12th century. I mean, isn't that extraordinary? But it speaks to us today. Now, you see, nobody is suggesting that to be a Christian, you have to be going around in a kind of somberness all of your life in introspection and repentance of your sins and so forth, as if that were the only aspect of being a Christian. But what he's saying, and it's profoundly true, is if there are never times when a person looks at their own self seriously, then the only explanation of that is pride, the skimming through life that finds no need nor place to examine my own soul. Thirdly, presumption. And here he's describing the person who pushes himself forward. Beautifully written. Let me read these words to you. I found them very convicting. This person airs his own ideas in a loud and lofty tone. He interrupts his questioner and gives answers before he is asked. He asks questions himself, but then goes on to supply his own answers. He cuts in on the person talking without allowing him to finish speaking. Well, you see what that is? That's pride, isn't it? See, what I've got to say is more important than what you're trying to say to me. He gives masses of information, but all to no purpose. He reopens discussions of subjects that have already been settled, and he goes over work that has already been completed. He thinks that nothing is properly organized or correctly carried out unless he has organized or executed it himself. Anyone recognize themselves here? It's pride.
Pastor Colin Smith here on Open the Bible with a message called New Humility. Now, we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to this message from 1 Peter chapter 5 in just a few moments. Hope you'll stay with us. But maybe you did join us a little bit late, or you have to leave a little bit early, or you just want to go back and listen to this program or any other in the series that you may have missed. You can always do that at our website. It's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which is also free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, humility is a unique challenge for two groups of people, and it will be good for us to take a moment to say, where are we in relation to those two groups that find humility to be a unique challenge? First, it is a special challenge for those who have great success. If you've built a business, if you've worked your way up in a career ladder, it is hard to be humble. If you have earned degrees, if you have artistic gifts, if you are excellent in the area of sports, if you do anything that attracts the praise of other people, it is hard to be humble. If your children have been successful, if you have grown in your faith, it is hard to be humble. Humility is hard for successful people. And as I think of us as a church community, God has blessed with great success many, many among us. But secondly, humility is a unique challenge for people with high moral principles. In fact, we might say that pride is the besetting sin of people with high moral principles, and that means that it will be the besetting sin of evangelical Christians. You see, if we are to describe what we hold dearly, that certainly has to include high moral principles. Evangelical Christians hold these from the Word of God. But what we're saying this morning is that where people hold high moral principles, as we seek to do, it is very hard then to be humble. I was struck reading again an outstanding book on humility by a member of the British House of Lords, Lord Longford. He was a deeply moral man, very strong Christian principles, and late in his life, after his retirement, he wrote a book entitled Humility, in which he tried to reflect on what it was to have a career in politics, and it was a very successful career, went to the very top ranks of government, and yet still to walk humbly with God. The most courageous moment in Lord Longford's political career came in 1967 when a bill to legalise abortion was brought to the British Parliament. Lord Longford was the leader of the House of Lords at the time, and he stepped down from his position as leader in the House of Lords in order to speak from the backbenches as a common member, as it were, against the bill. It was an act of extraordinary courage. It was a moment of high political drama in British history. Now, for many people, Longford was a hero, a man of integrity, one in a million, who was ready to stand for his principles, irrespective of the cost to his career, a man who put his moral conscience above party loyalty and was prepared to take a stand. And that was true. But here's what he says, writing about that event several years later. The action, he says, I am proudest of during those years was leaving the leader's seat in the House of Lords and speaking from the back bench against the abortion bill. It was an unprecedented step for anyone in my position. Here, if anywhere in my whole career, I like to think that there was courage. But if I can judge from my own internal condition at the time, there was precious little humility. Now, I find that a deeply searching confession, don't you? Humility is hard for a person with high moral principles. See, this goes to the heart of the story Jesus told about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, a man of the highest moral principles. But he did not have humility. The other was a publican. His life had been a moral mess. He saw his need of the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he said. And Jesus said that the man with the highest moral principles went home exactly as he came, but the other man who cried out to God for mercy went home justified. That's what Jesus said. Now, if humility is difficult for people who have been given great success, and it is difficult especially for people who hold high moral principles, then I want to suggest that it is extremely difficult for a community of people like us. And it's not surprising, therefore, that at the end of this letter, Peter writes to Christian believers, and he identifies this as a key issue. If we want to have influence in the world, if we want to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that as evangelical Christians, we need to listen to the criticisms of those who don't like us. And one of the primary criticisms of those who don't like us is that we are arrogant. And that's a terrible accusation. Because the very essence of the gospel is that you and I have come to the point of saying, I need the mercy of God. I came to Christ because I needed the mercy of God. I'm in Christ and I still need the mercy of God, and I find it in Him. If the gospel said, you're saved by being a good person, then all of us who are good persons might have something to boast about. But that is precisely what we do not believe. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not of works. It's not by our high moral principles, so that no one should boast, Ephesians 2:8. Nobody will be saved by being a good moral person or by upholding high principles. So I'm increasingly convinced that this issue of humility is crucial to our effect within the world as well as to our growth in the Christian life. And that one of the biggest issues that we need to address and to grapple with and to grow in is this question of how can you hold high moral principles and be humble? If we could do that, we might be much better heard.
Well, we'll continue to look at the answer to that question on our next broadcast. How can Christian believers hold high moral principles and be humble, live humbly, so that we can impact the world for Christ? You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Humility, and it's part of a larger series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. It's really a study of the book of 1 Peter, and if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app. We have both our daily program, our weekend broadcast, and our daily devotional on there. The app is free. If you don't have it already, go to your favorite app store and simply look for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and that is just what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, what can a person expect to get out of this book?
Well, very simply, it will take you right the way through the first letter to Peter, just 5 chapters in the New Testament. But this very important letter really lays out the basics that any Christian believer needs to grasp hold of. And so it's a marvelous letter for getting established in the faith. It's really helpful for anyone who is a new believer or anyone who feels like, you know, I just need to get the foundations set clear in my life. One of the things that I love about going through this letter, or indeed any book of the Bible, is that it allows God to set the agenda. See, it's very easy to think, well, we know what a new Christian needs to learn. And if I was coming up with a list, Steve, I'd say, well, there has to be something about prayer, there has to be something about witnessing, has to be something about reading the Bible and so forth. And all of these things, of course, are there in 1 Peter. But I probably wouldn't put on my list, you know, we need to retain our own freedom in Christ. Yeah. We need to walk in humility, and we need to be ready for what it is to suffer. I'm not sure I'd put that in my list, but they're all there in 1 Peter. Why are they there? Because God knows that every new believer needs these things as well as the others that might come first to our minds. So it's a marvelous thing to get into one book of the Bible. And as you learn how to learn from one book of the Bible, well, then you'll be ready to go on to another book of the Bible, and you'll be on your way in terms of growing in the Christian life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. It is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us and give a gift over the phone. Our number is 877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Are you someone who makes things happen? Do you also struggle with anxiety? Find out why that may be next time on Open the Bible.